Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
Hey, Rendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to the Going In Raw Dirt Sheets. Right? We've got our dirt sheets here. Look, we figured there's a lot of little things that happen during the week that we... Sorry, I didn't mean to touch your hand there.
It's fine.
There's a lot of little things that happen during the week. And so we figured we'd bring you all the little bits and pieces that we think you guys would be interested in. Because, like, there's a lot to sift through.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we go out, we do the legwork, and we bring you this every Friday.
Yeah.
That's going to be... It's going to be our thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's our first story today? First story.
Let's see here. This one comes to you from dailywrestlingnews.com. And according to them, Vince might be over Roman Reigns. Following Reigns' wellness policy violation, Vince apparently is way down on Roman, but extremely high on AJ Styles and wishes, I wish I signed AJ Styles 10 years ago. That's what he wishes, that he signed him 10 years ago.
Interesting.
So that's kind of interesting. There's been talk of having Seth Rollins and AJ being the faces of Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
Sort of like looking towards his future, even though AJ's kind of old. But I think he can go quite a bit.
Well, he's new to the WWE.
Yeah, but he's new.
The thing is that he's new.
Anyways. So this is kind of interesting. Like, and I mean,
are you surprised that this is the case, that Vince would allegedly be down on Roman, given, you know, how the fans have reacted to him, how they've accepted him or not, and the fact that he failed the wellness policy?
Nothing surprises me when it comes to Vince. His whims are unsurprising at this point. However, I think, honestly, to me, it all boils down to money. If he sees that Roman is not shaking out to be the moneymaker that he thought he would be, then it doesn't surprise me if he'd want to pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah.
And because, like, the brand extension, the brand draft is a big deal.
Yes.
That's a huge deal. And he wants to show, you know, the advertisers, the shareholders, all those people that he has people that can make him money.
Yeah.
And if Roman's not one of them, which I think at this point it's obvious the Roman Reigns experiment is failing big time.
Yes.
This doesn't surprise me. It actually is. I'm gonna push. I mean, obviously we'll all find out in a couple, within a matter of weeks. Because Reigns will be back for Battleground.
Yes.
And we'll know, look, if depending on how that Battleground main event goes, we'll know what trajectory they're looking at with Roman Reigns.
Yeah. If he's a guy that takes the pinfall,
yeah,
it's going to tell a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. I think him losing the belt at to Rollins at Money in the Bank before the cash-in actually speaks volumes.
Let me ask you this. Do you still think, because you, when I originally brought up how kind of surprised I was that Rollins would say things like, Roman's a cheater.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised at that, because to me, if the WWE did have big stock in Roman, I would be hesitant to think they would let him use that kind of language.
Yeah.
Have you changed? Because given, like, the Rollins report, they've really hammered it home.
They have.
It wasn't just a mention anymore. Now they've hammered it home. Has that changed your opinion on that?
For other wrestlers who are more accepted by the crowd, if they had used this approach, I would say, oh, it's just, in Rollins' case, they're trying to get heel heat on him.
Right, exactly. And here's the thing about Rollins, and then AJ also, now that AJ's a heel. AJ and Rollins are very similar in the fact that they're heels, but people cheer the shit out of them, too.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, yes. They're like those, I mean, you want to call them tweeners, but
they're cool heels.
They're cool heels, exactly. And for them to be using a cool heel, somebody that they know is getting cheered already, to run down a guy that is having problems getting cheered.
Yeah.
It's surprising to me if they want to protect Roman.
Yes.
This almost feels like, God, dude, it would be so mind-boggling and so surprising if this was a WWE burying him for him to get out on his own. I've always said this before, that it wouldn't surprise me if Triple H wanted to bury him a little bit, so that he had to find his own way out of it and really prove that he can be that guy.
I think we mentioned that
the guy
during their feud. It seemed like Triple H was doing his best to make himself look like the cool heel, doing the crotch chops and all that kind
yes.
of stuff.
Yes, you've mentioned this before. There's the matches between him and Triple H and Ambrose at Roadblock,
yeah.
and the match at WrestleMania with
yeah.
Reigns
yeah.
are two completely different stories. At Roadblock, he made Ambrose look like $1 million.
Yep.
And I think it's because he respects the living shit out of Ambrose, and he knows that Ambrose can run with whatever is given.
Yeah.
With Reigns, it was like he was saying, come on, kid, let's see what you got.
Yeah.
Two different stories there,
yep.
and it wouldn't surprise me if that was the tact maybe that Triple H wanted to take and the tact that Vince McMahon is now taking. Hey, dude, if you want to make it, you need to... You need to prove yourself. You need to prove yourself. You need to figure out what you're doing. This actually kind of plays into our next little bit of gossip and information here coming from the Wrestling Observer. And it talks about the original plans for SummerSlam.
Prior to Roman Reigns' suspension.
Right. So why don't you talk about that a little bit?
The four main matches on the card were to be Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins for the WWE title.
Okay. That's not surprising because the win that Ambrose had at that last pay-per-view, what was it called? What was it that one? Extreme Rules. No.
Last one was Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank, yeah. That's when Ambrose won. Yeah, yeah. Ambrose cashed in.
Yeah.
That, to me, was surprising. I still, to this day, I think the original plan was
to have it
tease a cash-in.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
John Cena versus AJ Styles for the New World title, I'm assuming the SmackDown belt.
The New World Order title?
Yeah. Lesnar versus Randy Orton, which is still happening.
Yeah.
And then Sasha Banks against Charlotte for the women's belt.
Which seems to be faster.
And if Vince is as high on AJ as Daily Wrestling News makes it seem to be, mm-hmm. then it seems like AJ might have a pretty good chance of being the champion of SmackDown.
Well, let me ask you this then. Would they have two cool heels holding belts on both brands?
If they think that's the way to maximize profits, then yeah.
I would seem to think at this point, that's probably still very very likely for AJ Styles, because he ain't doing nothing to drop the ball anytime soon.
No. Nope.
This dude is on fire, and
yes.
he is good. And because of that, I think they're booking the club very strong, and I love that.
Yes.
I would be surprised for them to have two heel world champions, because somebody, and I know, like, you can be a heel and still go on Good Morning America.
Yeah.
But I still think you're going to need a face. And Dean Ambrose is, one of our friends who's mentioned this before, was Dean Ambrose really the guy to go on Good Morning America? And that's, I kind of actually see validity in that point. Like, is Ambrose the guy to go on there?
I mean, he is, he's a good talker. He's a charismatic guy.
He's quick on his feet.
Yes.
And you're right. I know. Just his look. It would be interesting to see him good. After Cena being on Good Morning America.
I know, you can't picture Dean Ambrose in a suit.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
But he can go on Good Morning America with his leather jacket and jeans.
I think so, yeah. So, I don't know. I would seem to think that coming out of SummerSlam, it's going to be Dean Ambrose headlining Raw and AJ Styles headlining SmackDown.
Well, let me ask you this. This main event.
Yeah.
Reigns against Rollins.
Yeah.
I think we both agree this has zero chance of happening. This will probably be Ambrose versus Rollins.
Well, what does that do? You think Triple H versus Reigns, maybe? Rematch from WrestleMania?
Maybe. I don't know what else.
I mean, what else can they do with Reigns?
I don't know.
What else can they do with him? He needs to be in. It'd be just weird for him not to be in a high-profile match. So Triple H seems to be the guy who can be inserted there. He's not doing anything right now.
Yeah.
So I think that's my prediction right now.
Okay.
My early prediction.
I can't really argue with that, so.
Next up is kind of interesting, talking about the club.
Mm-hmm.
It's a predecessor, grandfather, whatever you want to call it. The place where they ripped it off from.
Yeah.
They poached.
Yeah.
The Bullet Club. Very interesting interview with Kenny Omega, who's now the leader of the Bullet Club, with Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, their extra mustard section.
Really great piece
yeah.
on him. He's blowing up these days, and I love it, because he's fantastic.
Yeah.
He talked about the Bullet Club, and they asked him specifically to compare his three-man faction, which is him and the two other Bullet Club members, the Young Bucks, who are extremely popular also.
Yeah.
And they dubbed themselves the Elite.
Yeah.
That's their thing.
Yeah.
But they're all a part of the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
You know? And they asked him to compare the Elite with the Bullet Club. This is very interesting. And he said, quote, "We were sort of forced into the role we were in with Bullet Club. I wanted to be in New Japan. The Young Bucks wanted to be in New Japan. And we showed up, and they said, we were in the Bullet Club. It had already been sort of a too sweet suck it parody of the NWO. I'd never done anything like that, but I was written to that storyline, so I had to do it. So especially now where our ranks have really been watered down, it is now more than ever left up to us to make it something new. It doesn't have to be the forced too sweet or forced suck it. We want to make it less about that part of the Bullet Club and more about what the elite is doing, which is what you see in everything that we do. No matter where the other guys show up, they're not going to do what we do. They're not even going to be able to do what we do. There are only three people on the planet that can do what we're doing, and it's us, meaning the elite. When you say the Bullet Club has been doing some really cool stuff, people ask, which ones? If you hear the elite was at Ring of Honor and tore the fucking house down, you won't even need to ask. You'll know it's me, Nick, and Matt. So, Larson, this begs the question, is the Bullet Club fucking dead? This is really surprising to me because of the moneymaker that the Bullet Club merchandise allegedly is.
Yeah, I know, but hearing other interviews with Kenny Omega where it seemed like, you know, granted when they came to New Japan, they were like, okay, you're Bullet Club guys now. But it seemed like at a certain point, especially after AJ left,
yeah,
him and the Young Bucks just kind of said, fuck it, we're going to do our own thing. Because they didn't ask permission to do the Elite thing.
Right.
They just did it.
Yeah, they just did it, yeah.
So maybe, you know, it's a situation where they are feeling constricted by kind of the framework of the Bullet Club and saying, okay, we want to do our own thing. We want to prove that we are the Elite, that we are the best faction in wrestling. And so maybe there's kind of, whether it's a shoot or a work or intentional or not, a little bit of competition between the larger Bullet Club and these three guys.
I think you're right. I think there's also an element of, it could be that they see the writing on the wall also. He also mentioned in this interview that he has an open invitation. I guarantee the Young Bucks do too.
To go to NXT.
To go to NXT. And he said, I've always had that in the back of my mind, but I want to prove, and this is great, because he says, this is the part of the deep south in me. I want to prove what I can do, and this is the year that I'm going to do it. So to me, this sounds like, to him, maybe with the... I mean, if you think about it, your biggest guys, Prince Devitt, Finn Balor, AJ Styles, Gallows and Anderson, Shinsuke Nakamura, he wasn't part of the club, but he was a big part of
it. But also Kota Ibushi, who's in the Cruiserweight Classic too.
Right, exactly. So you get all these guys who are like the heart and soul of the Bullet Club. Omega fulfilled such an interesting part that I think he really appreciated in the faction, the cleaner, you know?
Yeah.
That's like a very... And then he was just elevated the leader by the fact that AJ left and then Gallows and Anderson left. And so it's like, well, fuck. Like, the writing's kind of on the wall. They bring in these two other guys who are... It's fine, but it's like...
Isn't Adam Cole kind of the leader now, though?
Is he? I honestly, I have no idea. I know that when they went to Ring of Honor, and it was Cole and the Young Bucks were sporting Elite gear, and he was the one dude wearing Bullet Club stuff. And I'm not really familiar with this stuff, but it just sounds like we're sort of entering the period of
there's a mutiny in the ranks.
The NWO Hollywood days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it seems more behind the scenes, though.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder if they're thinking to themselves, we're not getting that huge of a cut from the merchandise. We want to go into business for ourselves, and we're going to use the Bullet Club to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's smart, but at the same time, what's surprising to me is that New Japan, I'm not going to say, well, let this happen because I don't know what their contracts are like, but it's surprising to me that New Japan hasn't, I mean, they're in a tough spot because who are they going to get? But it seems like they're letting the Bullet Club sort of
fizzle.
Exactly. And it's like, at one point, it's like, just like with the WCW, it's like, oh, what can you do to make it not fizzle? You can always try to keep on doing it, but at the same time, it's like...
Everything runs its course.
Exactly. It makes me wonder if the Bullet Club is simply running its course. And if that's the case, let me ask you this. At this point, I still wonder if the WWE hasn't done any club merchandise because they're waiting it out.
It could be.
Because that could sell big, right? Like, especially the way they have their logo with that cool gas mask.
Yeah.
And then it just says the and then club in Japanese.
Yeah.
That looks like a $1 million seller, but are they waiting for them? Hey, look, what do you guys got going with the Bullet Club? Just let us license it. You guys can still do your thing with it, but we want to use it on our guys.
But I'm pretty sure if WWE were to license the Bullet Club,
they would want it wholly.
They would want it all for themselves. They don't want guys in Ring of Honor and New Japan and any other little indie organization using the Bullet Club name
and running counter to
the storylines they're trying to do.
And I think probably more importantly, doing shit that they don't find PG or necessarily to their, if some dude wearing Bullet Club merchandise, and I'm not saying this would ever happen, but if some guy starts saying some shit that probably isn't proper. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody starts spouting out some racist shit or something, I don't think anybody in the Bullet Club currently would do that. But you never know what people are going to go do. Like, WWE won't want any part of that. You know, it's like, hold on a second. Why is that guy wearing that shirt? So I think you're completely 100% right. But that is kind of interesting that he was saying all that kind of stuff. It does sound like the Elite sort of going into business for themselves. It'll be interesting to see how the next 6 months plays out for the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
And the WWE. Do they even care anymore? Like, at this point, I've just accepted as the club.
Yeah.
It took forever for you and I to get on that bandwagon. I think everybody else did too.
Yeah.
It's like you just always wanted to call them the Bullet Club.
It even seems at this point that if they were to get the Bullet Club license and they start making Bullet Club merch and calling them the Bullet Club.
A little too late.
It would seem weird. They've already established themselves as just the club.
Yeah.
To start making merch.
And by virtue of the fact that they've been, especially the past month, they've been so fucking good at their thing. Like, the chemistry's there. When turning AJ might have been, like, really sudden and out of place, but he's so comfortable.
I know.
He's so good.
I know.
The beat up John Cena stuff is great.
It's all good.
Oh, man, it's all so good. Like, I want that fucking merchandise. By the way, guess what I ordered the other day? There's a fancy pants vintage Shinsuke Nakamura shirt in the shop.
Oh.
And I called dibs on it. Okay. I got it.
Okay.
It's good shit. You should check it out.
I was waiting for you to order your Baron Corbin shirt. That never happened.
That's never going to happen, dude. No. He's now.
Steve has soured on Baron Corbin.
Now I'm the Elite and he's Bullet Club.
So, Steve.
Yeah.
Cruiserweight Classic started Wednesday.
I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Okay. I watched it.
How was it? What did you think?
It was good.
Who stood out to you?
Kota Ibushi.
Okay.
That guy is
He's Bullet Club.
No, he's not Bullet Club.
He's not. Which one's Bullet Club?
But he wrestled in New Japan.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
But I don't think he was Bullet Club, no. But he's really good.
It'd be great if they pillaged another Bullet Club guy.
He had a match against Sean Maluda.
Okay.
He was, he's from the, I think, Offa is his...
Oh, okay, okay. So he's
uncle?
From the Samoan family.
Okay. Dynasty, whatever they call it.
Dynasty, yeah.
They put on a good match.
The Anoa'i is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good match from them.
Okay.
The first match of the night was Gran Metalik, a luchador from Mexico,
yeah.
against Alejandro Size.
Man, I tried to check, because I watched NXT last night, tried to check this out like after NXT, but by then it was like 12:30 and I'm fucking old.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't give this the attention I need to give it. So this weekend, I'm going to go get some Del Taco. I'm going to sit down in front of the TV, and I'm going to check it out.
That's a good idea.
All right. Ho-Ho Lun versus...
Well, hold on. Do you want to know who went over? Do you want spoilers or no?
No.
Okay.
Just give me some...
Alejandro Size, he was funny.
Really?
He had some really funny reactions.
All right. I like that.
And he had one really good move. Ho-Ho Lun versus Arya Daivari.
Mm-hmm.
Decent match.
Daivari. He's the brother of...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Clement Patois versus Cedric Alexander.
Yeah.
Cedric Alexander is a very athletic guy.
Really?
Really good.
Interesting.
That was a good match, too.
Okay. I did appreciate, like, because I saw the first few minutes of it. I chucked out, like, the first couple minutes of this match before I went to bed. And I was like, ooh, I like the atmosphere there.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of indie, but not.
Well, it's at Full Sail.
Right. Oh, it's still at Full Sail. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I like it made it seem different then.
Yeah.
And then I like the opening graphic with the dudes, the little video game guys.
Oh, I know, the cartoon wrestlers.
We need to get those guys in the 2K17.
Okay.
Because it reminded me of Xbox One and
PlayStation.
Yeah, from our old Fuck Wrestling days. Yeah.
But, you know, this is just the first batch of first round matches.
Well, dude, listen, next week I'm going to watch it before we do this. Our dirt sheet episode, and so I'll be able to participate.
We can actually talk about quality of the matches, the winners,
exactly,
picks for the whole tournament, how we think the talent stacks up.
I think it'd be fantastic.
Kota Ibushi is probably going to win the whole thing.
You think so? I like that. Daniel Bryan was saying that during the bracketology. He was like, oh, this guy, he's going to win the entire. He's a good favorite to win the whole thing. And then they get on the next guy. Oh, he's definitely a favorite to win the entire thing. He said that about everybody.
It's like if I had to pick my final four now, it'd be Kota Ibushi.
Okay.
Rich Swann.
Yes.
TJ Perkins.
Okay.
And one other guy.
Probably an Irish guy. They seem big on the Irish guy. Jack Gallagher.
Gallagher.
All right, before we go, we got a video question that we missed out on from our podcast. And the fact is we sort of answered the question as posed in during the podcast. It was all about the general managers. And so I reached out to James. I was like, James Stratford from England. I said, hey, pal, we accidentally missed out on your video question. So we'll run it here on our Friday show. And so he sent in this video question. And let's take a look.
Hey guys, just a quick one. With Rusev and Ryder supposed to throw down at Battleground for the US title, do you think this could be the championship run that Zack Ryder deserves, or do you reckon it's just another person being fed to Rusev to make him look stronger? Anyway, cheers, guys.
All right, James, thanks for your question. He specified an email. He wants me to answer this in a British voice. Do you think I should?
If that's what he asked for, then you kind of have to
do
it.
And then he said he's gonna submit a video question in an American accent.
Oh, cool.
So I'm going to answer this in my best British voice.
Okay.
You know, all right. No, I don't. I think this. We said this before on the podcast. I think that the IC title and the US title are going to be split by the brand draft.
Yeah.
And I think one of them is going to be used to give a push to somebody, and the other one is going to be held by its current owner. And I think it makes so much sense for Rusev to keep a hold on this US title. And Zack Ryder has more of a history of being the guy that people think, ooh, is this going to be his time? Is this going to be his time? And then it's never his time.
Yeah.
He gets little moments of victory, not big moments. And he's a big company guy doing double duty in NXT and Maine. That's
crazy.
Great.
It's crazy.
That's great. And so he gets rewarded with opportunities like this where, you know, he wins the 4th of July thing. And I don't think he's going to win the U.S. title. I think they probably have plans for Rusev to make this belt into something big like he did before.
Yeah, I hope so.
And I think Darren Young is going to win the IC title, and I think he's going to run with that, and they'll keep it on him depending on how well he's received, because the jury's still going to be out. I'm a big fan of what they're doing with him right now.
Yeah.
Let's see if they can line up some good feuds, some good stories for Darren Young with the IC title. That's my personal thought. I don't know. Maybe it'll go opposite direction. I think there is going to be...
Well, let me ask you this.
One of these titles is going
to
change.
Do you think it's possible to still use Rusev as the guy to make the U.S. title mean something again while still engaging in an extended feud with Zack Ryder that sees the belt change hands a couple times?
Well, okay, let's look at Rusev's last feud. Look at Titus O'Neil. The jury's going to be out for a couple weeks, for a couple of months to see if that helped him at all. I mean, he beat Heath Slater.
Yeah.
Is he going to go on to some, like, put him in a program with somebody else that's sort of in the same? Put Titus O'Neil in a program with Dolph Ziggler. Why can't you put two faces together? You know what I mean?
I know.
Like, that could be fun.
Yeah.
And that'd be great for Dolph. That'd be good because Titus is an interesting guy to work with in a couple different respects.
And Dolph would make Titus look like $1 million the way he sells.
He would.
Yeah.
He would. That's a good feud right there. Dolph's not doing anything else.
No.
So put those guys together.
Put those guys in a series of matches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could have, say, a best of seven, have Titus win 4-3.
Yeah, exactly. And that would only further what Titus started with Rusev. That's a way to get a guy and make him legitimate.
Yeah.
In terms of Rusev, the same can be done, I think, with Zack Ryder. But with Zack Ryder, I'm not sure where the problem with Zack Ryder is that, okay, with Titus O'Neil, we've never really seen what happens after he gets a big push.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen the tag thing, but that's different.
Yeah.
With Zack Ryder, we've kind of seen what
happens
with him.
We've kind of seen his ceiling, it seems like.
After a big push.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I don't think, as much as I love Zack Ryder, I don't think he's, you know, as Triple H says, it's like a big play and everybody has their roles. I'm not sure Zack Ryder, and I'm not sure his role will ever be main eventer.
No, but he could be an occasional mid-card contender.
Sure, absolutely.
Maybe an occasional champion.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's had the U.S. title. He had it for a couple months, right?
I think so, yeah.
And then, you know, he held the IC title for a day. But that could be, you know, that could be his role. Just occasional guy you plug into a mid-card belt feud.
And the more times he wins a title, the stronger he is down the line.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Big Show, for example. I know it's a completely different situation. But kind of not really. Because, like, he's won plenty of championships. He's always booked strong. And he's always legitimate to get other guys over.
Yeah.
Zack Ryder can be booked in that same fashion.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with it. I mean, for example, like, they can put him in a feud with Baron Corbin. And that makes Baron Corbin look better when he beats Zack Ryder down the line.
Well, he shouldn't be beating Zack Ryder.
Yes, he should be.
No.
All right, anyways. Thanks, James. Thanks for your question. And James is one of our Patreons. You can check us out.
Well, he's one of our patrons.
Patrons.
Which on
you
our
can
Patreon.
Check out at our Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. At the $20 level, you can ask a video question like James did, and we love those video questions. They're really great. They add a lot to the show.
Yeah.
And you guys get to show your mug and show what you guys know and you know, get your faces out there.
Yeah.
On our little podcast here. So anyways, thanks for checking out. Thanks for hitting that download and subscribe button. This Dirt Sheet show is going to be on our podcast rotation there on the iTunes and Stitcher.
Yeah.
So Podbean, all that kind of stuff. So if you're checking out the podcast, you'll get this subscribed to as well, if you prefer the audio version. So yeah, check it out. And
did we mention this, that starting next week, two full podcasts every week?
Two full podcasts and this Dirt Sheet show.
Yeah.
So lots to look forward to. Plenty going on our channel. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.